sex because I listened to Sex with Timmery, but I forgot.
How's everybody doing?
Hey. Woo, Timmery!
Welcome to a live episode of Sex with Timmery. How many people have ever listened to an episode before? So you have like a vague notion of what's about to happen. And how many people are like, I don't know where I am or what is about to happen. I have no idea.
Yeah, virgins.
I love it. I love your sense of adventure. That's amazing. That's fantastic. We have an amazing show today. I've got some super rad guests. I've got Rudy Flesher and Lady Geisha, and they are going to be doing some cool stuff for you. And because we love you and because I want to reward intelligence, you can win shit. We can cuss because this is the internet.
I love when you talk dirty.
Oh, all right. This party got started. All right. So without any further ado, let's start with your chances to win some shit. Could you hand me that little pile over there?
This is a wonderful pile.
Yes, just that little pile. All right. Who thinks that they know stuff about sex? We got it. All right. So the two of you are going to compete. All right. All right. So our first amazing, like, these are great prizes, like, no doubt. All right. So our first prize that you could possibly win by Eric Smith of Geekadelphia, The Geek's Guide to Dating. Ooh. All right.
I want
it's autographed.
I want to compete for that. Can the panel? No.
Yeah,
I have to buy it.
I'm
all right. No, it's fine. No, I love Eric. I want to buy him and support his book. He's a wonderful Philadelphian, but you guys should compete for this. It's fabulous.
All right, so our first question is actually going to be really hard because it's a good prize. All right, it's science. All right, so we all know, question one, douching is a bad idea for vaginas because it upsets the pH balance. But what is the natural pH balance of a vagina? If you give the number, I will be super impressed. Your answer is 4?
Yeah.
The correct answer is the average healthy vagina is between 3.5 and 4.5. Which makes it very much an acid. It makes it an acid. So if you're not familiar with the pH scale, it's like up to 14 to give you 14. Yeah. Yeah. Up to 7 would be like up to neutral, and then it starts going into bases.
I think that's about coffee. Just for a point of reference, if anybody doesn't remember their chemistry, if you're wondering what a vagina feels like and you're homosexual, just dip your hand in Starbucks, and that's probably roughly, maybe not. No? Okay. All right. Never mind.
Temperature?
I'm not saying it'll have ice cubes in it. I'm just saying the pH is about the same, okay? I'm not, you know.
All right, so our next prize from Shanna Katz, who is a sexuality educator out in Colorado, Your Pleasure Map, which is a woman's Q&A guide to hotter, naughtier, and more adventurous sex. Ooh.
Ooh, right. Yes.
So you can win that. Question number two. A new report was released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture that says among middle-income couples who have had a kid last year, how much will it cost to raise a child born this year to the age of 18 without the cost of college? All right, so we got a quarter of a million, we got a half a million. The correct answer is $250,000. For context, with that you could buy 250 MacBook Airs. You could buy a billboard in Albuquerque to have your face on it for 16 years. 7 years of admission to Disneyland. Or 11 pregnant alpacas.
Who did that Google search?
I don't know. The internet.
The internet.
All right. Our next prize is the Lesbian Sex Positions book. It is full of pictures. It is chock full of pictures. Also by Shanna Katz. So she was a guest on the Sex with Timmery podcast, and she granted us these lovely gifts. All right. Question number three. A 53-year-old man in Slavonski Brod, Croatia, was arrested for his collection of jars filled with what? What?
Oh, God.
Correct. Oh. Wait, didn't you already win something?
I did.
Fuck you. What?
Urine.
Wait, so a 53-year-old man in... Wait. Penises. Yes, penises is correct. He is a registered nurse, and they don't know exactly how and under what circumstance. Congratulations on your lesbian sex book. they don't exactly know how he did it, but they were taken from dead bodies, so we don't think anybody died as a process of this. It's just that the families are not too pleased to hear about that. It's kind of illegal. Little. Kind of illegal.
Yeah. Geisha, I see you eyeing that up, and I just want you both to know that scissoring is not real, and I don't want to catch you in the dressing room trying it. I'm just going to put that out there.
I brought my chopstick.
Oh, God.
All right, for the fourth one, you can win the Kernel Alphabets, which is also chock full of illustrations. It is mostly actually for the illustrations. So it's a lot of filthiness and naughty poetry. But they were guests on the podcast also. So you can get this ridiculous book if you can correctly answer the next question. This famous couple, I'm going to need hands for this because I feel like several people will know this. This famous couple has each other's names tattooed on them. She has a small one just above her butt, while he has her name across the entirety of his upper back. They announced their split this week. Who are they? Wait, you already answered. So,
we have Evan and Jolie and Brad Pitt.
No, I would be crying. I would be crying if that were true. Correct. You get the Kernel Alphabet. Yes, they announced their split this week.
I didn't know. I'm so out of the pop culture loop. I'm the worst.
Well, I mean, it's...
Or the best.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. So we have one more for right now. And this is thanks to our beautiful sponsor who allowed us to use this space, Tattooed Moms. They're great. They've been really, really cool about this entire podcast festival. So you can win your very own Tattooed Mom t-shirt. What? I can't hold it. And also the mic at the same time. Ooh, Rudy's modeling.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, so this is our last question for right now. The U.S. FDA approved the drug Avastin to treat late-stage cervical cancer. This type of cancer is extremely fatal, and it is commonly a result of what sexually transmitted infection? Oh, shit, you guys are going to have to split it. HPV, human papillomavirus, which is one of the most common things that people even come across. 50 to 75% of sexually active adults contract HPV at some point, and that means if you fucked somebody. So, but most of the time, the body actually clears it. Your body just, like... can take care of it on its own. But there are some more virulent strains that can lead to either genital warts or to cervical cancer, which is why pap smears are important. There is not currently a test for men, which is bullshit, but there is vaccine for several of the strains. Yes, there are. Not true, but we'll talk about that later. it covers four different strains of it, and right now the FDA has it approved for people up through the age of 26. After the age of 26, odds are good you already have it, so they're like, they haven't even bothered to find out if it works. So great job. There's going to be an opportunity to win some more stuff later, so stay really excited. At this point, I would like to introduce you to our first guest, Rudy Flesher, who is going to just blow your mind with some excellent personal essay. Is that how I should describe it?
All right. Yeah, absolutely.
So the beautiful Rudy Flesher.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited. I've been on Sex with Timaria a few times before, and it's always fabulous. And last time, I was performing as the notorious OMG, and I have since hung up my jock strap and my pumps, and I'm now just Rudy. No, I still feel notorious, but, you know, it's nice to be able to perform in flats. Anyway, at any rate, so this is a short little essay called My Gender is Glamour. I don't know when it came to me exactly. I'd been sussing out why man didn't really cover me completely and why woman didn't feel right at all, why boy raises my hackles, and why saying, well, when I was a little girl, tickles me pink for lack of a better or more or less feminine color. I tried on feminine pronouns as an alternate to masculine, not by request, but by being in gay bars and hanging out with radical fairies where pretty much everyone is she. At some point, I closed my eyes and thought, what comes to mind when I think of me? And then the answer was clear. My gender is glamour. What is glitter if not a declaration that I am beautiful and that I adorn myself in celebration? More than a girl's best friend, what are diamonds if not rocks that shatter light and shine all the colors of the rainbow back out into the observer? What are sequins if not a way to reflect 1,000 hues back at yourself when you look at me? This is an invitation to see yourself in me. Sequins are an opportunity to see yourself seeing your own beauty bounced back at you, mixed with mine all at the speed of light. Light and glamour. I see beauty in you too, reflective surfaces or not. I see beauty in your buzz cut, your no-nonsense librarian's bun, your purple mohawk, the wig you started wearing when you started chemo, your bald head when you decided the wig was too much and you were gorgeous without it. I see beauty in your Doc Martens, your peep-toe pumps, your canvas high tops, your ballet slippers, your fuzzy bedroom slippers, and your steel-toe construction boots. I see beauty in the way you help old ladies across the road, the look you get in your eyes just before you deliver a rant to expose unexamined privilege, your graceful pirouette, your hairy legs, that time you took a digital picture of a recipe instead of copying it down to save paper, and the way the kids and animals seem to love and trust you implicitly. I love it when you wear your hair like that. I love it when you put on your perfume, or when your only perfume is the scent of a hard day's work. I love the way you move in those jeans, that dress. I love the way you wear your gender. Gently, proudly, fiercely, like a suit of armor. Effortlessly. With great effort, yet unapologetically. Uncompromisingly, I love the way you wear your gender. My gender is glamour. My job is to be gliding rhinestones, walking disco ball, Liberace's mirrored piano. Do you see yourself in me? Do you see your beauty reflected back? Do you see how I see you? Perfect. Perfect. Loved, wanted, needed, and necessary. Beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Aww. I was feeling feelings when I wrote that. I don't know if you can tell. Yeah.
I do want to ask you about your essays in general. So last time that you were on the show, and again, performing as the Notorious OMG, you had an amazing essay about, I think it might have been like the first time you realized you were like attracted to an adult man.
Yes.
And so I'm just curious about like what inspires you to write and like to be so incredibly real with people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's out of a deep appreciation for people who have done that for me. So this essay is at least partly inspired by an Ivan Coyote essay, and she did a beautiful essay as a sort of like love poem to all of the beautiful femmes in her life. And she is a butch Canadian lesbian who, oh my God, she's so sexy. She is. She just, and she like carries herself in this like super sure way. And she talks about her butchness and her gender identity and her body. And there's just like this love letter that she wrote to femmes. And it was sort of a compilation as this is, because obviously this is written to a lot of different people and their genders. And she did get asked, like, is that all one person doing all of those things? Like, they wear all that different shit? Like, how many costumes? Like, no, this is, you know, but... And so for me, I think it's, you know, having been, essays like this have made me feel seen and made me feel whole and loved and valued in times when I hadn't, or there was some part of myself that I hated or was ashamed of because our society doesn't necessarily value genderqueer people or gay people, you know, the whole LGBTQ alphabet soup. We all have our struggles, and really straight people have their own other struggles too. Patriarchy fucks everyone. But not to be too angry a lesbian, but I am. I am. And
it's cool. We have the lesbian sex book. So
yes!
When you're an angry lesbian, yes! And then you just like, you work it out.
Yeah, and icon Ebony Fierce has the lesbian sex book. Maybe you can trade it later for like, you're in, no, I was going to say, go to, because there's the Queer Philly Exchange Facebook group, and you can just like trade that for a sack of teff or somebody's, or like couscous. Somebody will trade you half a box of their CSA for that. You can get like two squash and a rhubarb. I don't know. It'll be fine. That's what I love about queer community. That's real. That's a stereotype, but that's also real. But yeah, so essays like this are, you know, it's my love letter to the people who maybe haven't heard this yet. And it's my It Gets Better video, I guess. Hopefully slightly less, well, I don't want to say less cheesy. I think that was a really good project too, but.
You know, as far as things that Dan Savage has done,
right.
It goes up there on the list of like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's had some controversial moments. He's had some moments where, and you know what's funny though? I saw a recent apology from him. I don't remember if it was to Bi people or to Poly people, some group that he had sort of, and it was like, but you know what? That's what I will appreciate about Dan Savage is like, if he decides he was wrong, he'll be like, yeah, I was a dick. I'm sorry. That was fucked up. I'm going to.
So how many people are familiar with Dan Savage? Okay, so if you're not already familiar, he writes for the Seattle Stranger, and of course his sex advice column, which is Savage Love, is all throughout the country. It's syndicated, and he's done amazing things in terms of sexuality education and some incredible terminology that we are now familiar with. Like for instance, GGG, which is good giving and game, which is like what any lover should aspire to be. That you want good things to happen for your partner. That you are up for. Adventures, you don't have to consent to everything, but, you know, don't say no just because you think you have to, because, you know, that would be a bad thing to do. If you're up for it, give it a shot. If your partner thinks it would be fun and you're like, that might be interesting. And to be giving in your sexuality as opposed to purely wanting to take. So that's like a really good thing he's contributed.
Yeah.
But he's also biphobic and asexual phobic and a bunch of different things. So
does he mean, why... Oh, I didn't even know that. That makes me sad. Okay.
About the asexual thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's of the opinion, he says that like if you're asexual, like fine, be asexual, but then take yourself out of the dating pool.
Oh, that's crappy, because there are people who are, and this is something that I learned when I had a roommate who was going through Jefferson's human sexuality, or no, they're not human sexuality,
marriage
that's what,
family therapy?
Marriage and family therapy, and she had a focus on sex therapy, and I didn't realize that there, like, I just thought asexual was also, like, aromantic, and there are asexual people who are romantic and date one another and have very fulfilling relationships, and, like, that makes total sense, but I just didn't know it. But it's really sad that he's saying, take yourself out of the dating pool when asexual people can have really meaningful, fulfilling relationships. Like, that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, asexuality is, like, a very big spectrum. Like a lot of people identify that way, and it doesn't mean that their experience is the same as anybody else's, because you can be asexual in that you're not attracted to other people, but you still might want to pleasure yourself, or you might be demisexual is another term that's getting a little bit more well-known. Demisexual is for people who are not like intrinsically sexually attracted to people, but if they get enough of a interpersonal connection, then they might be sexually attracted. So that's another option. Or there are people who are just like, I don't want to do it at all. It's just weird to me and not interesting. And that's also totally fine. Like, whatever your thing is. Yeah, whatever you like or do not like.
It's really interesting because there was a... there's a book I got at Giovanni's room before it closed, and I hope you all heard that it's reopening, being reopened by Philly AIDS Thrift. So yes, super, super excited for that. But I got a book, and I think it was called Why is the Penis Shaped Like That and Other Something Questions. And so it's written by a gay man who I guess is like an evolutionary biologist. And so he answers all of these different questions of like, why does our body smell this way and look like that and shaped like that and blah, blah, blah. And he's of the opinion, like, he's kind of, I guess, asexual phobic too, because when he talks about asexual people who masturbate, he's like, if you masturbate, you're having sexual arousal and you have to picture something. So who are you picturing? Like, why aren't you telling us? And it was just really unfortunate to me that a gay man would discount asexuality as legitimate or even try to cast it as like pathological somehow, because the reality is it's been less than 40 years since the American Psychological Association declassified homosexuality. I'm pretty sure this man was old enough, like maybe it wasn't while he was out, but while he was alive, you know, he would have been considered gay, like sick because he was gay. And so it's just really unfortunate. And we were having this conversation last night. We were talking about asexuality and a sort of like LGBT rejection of that. And I think it's interesting because on one hand, if we take LGBT as people who are talking about sex and gender liberation, then asexual makes sense because it's having further conversation about empowerment and experiencing your sexuality in your own way, on your own terms. At the same time, if you're asexual, you're not, I mean, I guess if you're asexual and gay and you're in a romantic relationship, you could still be like losing some of the same rights, but it's really because you're gay, not because you're asexual. And so much of LGBT is focused on, you know, the fact that we live in a state right now where we could be fired for our sexuality or gender identity. We could be denied to our ability to eat at a restaurant or stay in a hotel, and that's all perfectly legal. But you can't be denied those things because you're asexual. So in the way that our community is often framed as a civil rights struggle, they don't fit. And so it's a weird balance in terms of how and why we create the communities we do around sexuality, sexual liberation, and those conversations.
A lot of this stuff I know is very important to you. You're very involved in a lot of different types of political activism. What are you currently in the midst of?
Probably my main political thing is chairing the political action committee for Representative Brian Sims, and he was the first out gay representative in Pennsylvania. So made history there. Yes, thank you. And I have such a deep love and respect for him and his work, because he did a lot of work reorganizing equality advocates into Equality Pennsylvania, and really taking that to be a statewide LGBT advocacy group. Before he was the board president there a few years back, we didn't have a statewide advocacy group, and we now have a record amount of people signed on to a non-discrimination bill, and which even Governor Corbett said he would sign. Like, even that jerk who hates women and brown people and gays most of the time, when he's saying that our marriages are like incest, and yet even he thinks that we should have non-discrimination. So that's a slight sidetrack, but that's exciting. But it's also exciting that Tom Wolf's going to win and he's going to be gone. Real talk. I mean, but the other thing that I have coming up that's really, really exciting is you guys might know Liz Winstead. She's often on your Facebook with lots of pro-choice memes, really smart, funny quotes. She has founded an organization called Lady Parts Justice. And it is about turning out the vote for, young pro-choice people and especially women interested in reproductive justice. And they are doing an event on September 27th called V2 Shining V. And there will be, I think, 8 or 10 different cities with like full on badass lineups of comedians. Sarah Silverman is running the one in New Hampshire. And I'm hosting the one here in Philadelphia. So September 27th is going to be a happy hour timed. Look for it. There's going to be a lot of media. We're waiting on releasing the names, but I can tell you some really fabulous comedians, some really fabulous actors who are on some series that you're all obsessed with right now. That's as much as I can say. But her name was a maybe, and now it looks like a yes. So as soon as the press release comes out, look out for that. And I'm all about turning out that vote, because I think that will get the right politicians in office, including getting Governor Corbett out.
Yowza.
Yeah, can we all get an applause? Like, are you all from Pennsylvania? Do you know how terrible he is? Are you okay? Putrid. That is an excellent word.
We were like, the one thing I've ever agreed with him on was like the Pennsylvania Liquor Board was going to be privatized, and like that never happened.
You know,
like, what are you good for?
It was really interesting because he wanted to privatize that, and on one hand, I think it's ridiculous to have state stores, but on the other hand, for one, it was going to cost the state a ton of money. He was going to sell it, and then we were going to lose a lot of revenue. And thanks to his policies, we already, he already cut education by $1 billion. We can't really go cutting our revenue more. So even though it's not a great system, until we have a way to figure out where to make the money we would lose by privatizing it. And the other thing is, I think there's right now over 5,000 union jobs through the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board, which is, yeah. And that union demands LGBT protections, and those would be lost. So 5,000 people. You have to assume roughly maybe 5% of them are LGBT, and about 2/3 of them are living in counties where there are no local protections, and there's no state protections, and there's no federal protections. So that adds up to hundreds of people that would potentially lose their jobs for being LGBT in rural parts of Pennsylvania. So right now, it actually is... It's not perfect, but there are reasons that the Liquor Control Board isn't the worst, and they're actually doing some really good things for labor and for LGBT people.
Wow. I just got schooled.
So this is what, and like all of that, like that's why, you know, that's why Brian is an amazing state legislator, because people were really taking him to task for being against selling it off, and he really broke down and explained why. And also Adrian Schenker, who's the past president of Equality PA, he's very involved in the labor movement, and so really drove that point home that this is a complex issue, even though we maybe drive to Jersey to buy our liquor sometimes when it's not the best in PA. What can you do?
So at this point, I would like to switch gears a little bit.
Let's.
We're going to bring up our next guest who's going to perform for you. How are you feeling about that, Bo? You feeling excited about that? All right. So we are going to have an amazing live performance for you. And then our next guest will then come up and we'll just have a little bit of a chat. So how are we doing like on music and tech-wise? We good to go? Everybody good to go? All right. So without any further ado, please welcome to the stage, wherever you make it, Lady Geisha.
Oh, Jesus.
This song goes out to all the gentlemen in the audience tonight. I know there's a lot of y'all out there, cause I'm in the gayest city in America. You can fuck me in my bedroom. You can fuck me in my bathroom. You can fuck me in my kitchen. You can fuck me from behind. You can fuck me in my minivan. My salad like a gay man. I don't care how you fuck me, just fuck me when you can. You can fuck me on my tippy toes, jump my bones until the rooster crows. You can fuck me with a dildo, anything to fill my heart. And ride my ass. Fuck me hard, baby. Fuck me fast. I don't care how you fuck me, just fuck me right damn now. There are issues and baggage between us. Always some kind of bullshit to get over. If I shut the fuck up and fuck me. I need you to fuck me. Yeah. That's right. Cause sometimes a lady needs to be made love to. That's motherfucking truth. But other times she needs to get fucked. You ain't got nobody to do that for you, sister friend. You gotta go home and get in your bedside table, get yourself something to look just like this microphone. And go, that's right, girl. You gotta please yourself. There are issues and baggage between us. Always some kind of bullshit to get over. If I had my way, surely you would shut the fuck up and fuck me. I need you to fuck me. You can fuck me deep inside. You a necrophiliac and I just died. You can nose dive into my poon, but you better do it soon. You can fuck me in Pakistan. Up like the Taliban. Fuck me in my belly button, fuck me in my armpit, fuck all y'all motherfuckers, and fuck me.
Yay, Geisha!
Give it up for Lady Geisha!
Hi!
All right, would you like a seat or you want to stand? What do you want to do? All right, you can get cozy.
I saw there was sriracha here. I got kind of hungry.
Yeah, do you want your dildo? I can get it. I know you're in heels.
Oh, no, that's fine.
She said you can have it for now. Yeah.
Play with it. It's good.
You enjoy.
Was that boiled after the last time it was used?
Probably. I don't know.
What is that made out of? What is that made out of?
I don't know.
See, because materials matter, because that will affect how you can clean it, because not everything can be boiled, so...
I looked at that, and I, you know me, I'm Asian, but I was screaming Godzilla when I saw that girl. I was like, hey, where does that go? It goes where?
I mean, that would be an impressive feat. That's really all I have to say about that.
Girl, you'd be having me speaking more than Chinese and sitting on that.
So, Geisha, how long have you been performing?
Oh, it's coming up on the 4-year mark.
Yeah?
So.
All right.
I was sorry. I apologize. I was late. I got off Korean Airlines. It took me a while. I had to get the checkpoints and everything.
Ma'am. Mm-hmm. So much racial humor. You can tell she was raised by white people in the suburbs.
I was.
So, okay. No, I'm gonna ask about that. Like, all right. So part of your drag performance is definitely talking about racial stuff. Like what, tell me about that.
I think as a drag performer, you need to realize that drag is not serious. You have to have fun with it. You have to go with the flow. You have to push boundaries, but also know your place in the performance art. And for me, I try to be a comedy queen. So anything that I can play off on my own race, I think if you can make fun of yourself and portray that to the crowd, they look at that in a different light. And they take light and they have fun with it. So I try to make up as much Asian shit as I can.
So when you decided to go into drag, because this is a performance that is not easy to do, and it is certainly not inexpensive to do. Like, what you need to feel a passion about it. Like, what inspires you?
Food stamps. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's free. Swipe your EBT. I always make the joke that I, you know how they say WIC? I'm a white woman in crisis. So I go in, I get the milk and the eggs and the bread.
You're horrible. Yep. I love you.
And then my night job's on 13th and Locust.
There's not as much money in that as there used to be. Those girls are all retiring. It's terrible.
They told me they like the homemade milk.
Stop it.
It's rice milk, so it's a healthier conservative. Oh my God. Oh my Y'all God. Didn't know my real last name is Rice. I was fucked from the door.
Yeah, what are the chances?
I don't know.
But you do, and you do serve. So, I mean, and she has gone all out. Like, she is always running around the stage, bowing, serving pork dumplings in the middle of a fucking number. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you work, like, dumplings and fried rice into Beyonce, but I've seen you do it.
This is one thing I always tend to eat before a show. I can't be one of them queens that's like, I can't eat, or I just corseted. I'll corset, eat whatever I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think I had three things of Popeyes before one night at Miss Everything.
And then you did a cartwheel after all of that?
Yeah.
I'm I mean, I always used to corset too, but I'll tell you, at a certain point you learn how to eat and then corset, because I had a show in West Philly and I went out to the Satellite Cafe and I had a tofu kale wrap, a green smoothie, and a peanut butter bomb vegan treat, and then got into a 24-inch corset. So it can be done. You just have to shift some things around on the inside, okay?
I don't understand that language.
I'm sorry.
I eat ramen and Hot Pockets and anything that has calories.
Oh, God.
There was a time I did... So Geisha and I were in a drag queen contest together, which is a true story. And I did an Australian number, and I ate Vegemite directly from the container. It is, however... No one's ever done that. That's disgusting. It was actually Nutella. And I fooled you bitches by putting on a Nutella label. And then this one just like ate it with a spoon for like the next half an hour.
I was so hungry. She filled my hole. It was so good.
Oh, God.
The little Nutella shaped hole. This is right over here.
Yep.
Delightful. Right. So, yeah. No, I want to find out, like, what inspires you as a performance artist? Like, what...
You know, it's drag to me as a performer. I went into this 4 years ago, I actually met somebody I used to do community theater with back where I'm originally from in Bethlehem, and she was the current title holder at that bar Stonewall in Allentown. And I didn't know it was her at first. And I stayed after the club, and he came out, and he was like, I was like, oh my gosh, Steve. And he was like, oh my God, because we went way back. Like when I was young, you know, I was in the community theater, did a whole bunch of plays and everything. And that just inspired me. That was the point where I was like, let me try it out. Like, so I started thinking of drag names, the most Asian thing you could ever think of. And, you know, something just clicked. So I said, okay, I'm going to go with Geisha, Lady Geisha. And it just went from there. Like, I started off very, very basically, you know, cover girl, don't cover boy. But I didn't know that at that point. So, yeah, and it just kept on going, and I did pageants, and I did, you know, different shows, benefits, and it really just, like, not until I actually moved here to Philly, I grew into my own character and learned, you know, my facial structure as a queen and different, like, you know, tricks of the trade. But what inspired me was just how you can be free and just do it. Nobody cares. You grow. It's a learning experience, and it's a fun time. Like, I've met the best of friends doing drag and in the community, and I never thought I'd be where I'm at today from just moving into Philly, mm-hmm. Doing a lot of stuff, and it's just been a blessing. I just, you know, I don't change inside of drag from outside of drag. I'm the same quirky person, except I don't have eyebrows. But I blame that on Drink or Swim the night I went.
Oh yeah, you can't swim with drawn on eyebrows, baby.
I swear, I jumped in the pool with eyebrows on, and then I got out of the pool and I had no eyebrows.
I lost a gym partner that way once. He overthreaded and he had to draw them back in, and he couldn't sweat for like 6 weeks. Yeah.
How do you avoid sweating?
I don't know, because I sweat in December, so I don't understand. I couldn't, yeah, but.
I sweat MSG. Can you smell it?
So, since I have both of you up here, I want to talk about the Philly drag scene, because you both have, I'm sure, lots of feels and thoughts.
Ooh, I feel like this is the episode of Untucked.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
I don't. Is this just like general thoughts, or
whatever?
Do you have a specific controversial question, or like our favorite moment, or because I mean, so
those are all good questions
that an
interviewer would have asked. Well, if the interviewer was any good? Yeah.
Yeah. No. I mean, you know, I think that I'm very excited for the resurgence of drag. I think a couple things happened, because for a long time, you know, there were, you know, you had some of the same queens at the same bars. For a long time, and there wasn't really much of a new influx, and there weren't really people following in their footsteps either. Like, there weren't a lot of, you know, drag daughters being born. So there's Bob and Barbara's, and there was Venture, and you know, things going on at Q Lounge with Brittany Lynn and those queens. And they're all wonderful, but there was just no new energy. And so a couple things happened. You know, Taboo opened, and 12th Air got remodeled as Eye Candy, and so there was a lot of money being put into new bars, and RuPaul's Drag Race was going on, and the goddess Isis moved here from Tennessee, and she, you know, got her headlined a weekly show and has been ever since. And so there's like a lot of new energy, but it also got a little too popular too quick, And I think there's now a glut of drag. And instead of growing the number of people who like drag, we've split the people who like it into smaller and smaller audiences. For people who are less and less polished, and I think that every young queen deserves to go through her booger phase. That's what we call it if you've never... before she grows into a Heather or before she decides, like Icon Ebony Fierce, that she's going to give this total, like, gender fuck, glitter beard amazingness, you know, because we've got another really talented queen in the room. She was amazing. Miss Fish 2013. I don't remember when she used to look fishy, but I'll believe it. I guess I've seen the pictures on Facebook. I was giving her a hard time the other night. They're filtered. Oh! That's not a beat face. That's a Mayfair on Instagram. I use that filter too.
Valencia.
It's horrible.
No one uses Calvin.
It's horrible. Snooki looks like she uses Calvin because she's already orange, but she doesn't. It's horrible. Where was it? So I think right now, you know, I just think there's... I think there's a glut of drag. And, you know, I've been seeing the videos come out from Drag Wars that happens at Voyeur on Thursday. I think that actually really is pushing the boundaries and having some really new, innovative queens. But I think we need to let some of the boys in dresses die off. Not literally kill them, just let them go back to slacks and flats. Because a boy in a dress is not a drag queen. It takes something really special to be a drag queen.
Let's talk about that. What makes a drag queen?
That's a hard question.
C-U-N-C.
Creativity, uniqueness, nerve. Oh, it's charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. Yeah. Cunt.
Yes. Yeah.
And I actually think that's really accurate. That's like a RuPaul-ism, but that's a really, really accurate. Because I do think, like, somebody getting up and lip-syncing with, like, dead eyes, and you're like, have you never watched Tyra? Did you not try to smize in the... Thank you. Like, you know, like, just somebody, and like you just said, you know, and I don't think everyone picked up on that joke, but it's really funny. You said when you started out really basic and you said cover girl, don't cover boy. You know, like, you cannot go to CVS and get drag makeup. Like, no. Like, you can't put on a tinted moisturizer and lip gloss. And I'm not saying you have to spend...
I used to go to the Asian corner stores near my home and get, you know, how they have all the makeup and hair and everything. Mm-hmm. And I used to find, like, I didn't even know my skin color at that point. And it's like, it was like the powder to foundation, whatever, it changed, but it looked like pancake batter, like Bisquick.
Right, right. Yes, serving Bisquick realness. Pancake supper realness, Lady Geisha.
I didn't know anything about Mac or Ben Nye or anything of the stuff that all these queens used.
Well, and the thing is, and so I don't want to put out there that, you know, a queen has to super spend on makeup or spend on, you know, like, if you can go get a sequin gown at Philly Age Thrift for $4 and make it look like runway, like, that is drag, that is punk drag, that is DIY, that's, you know, but at the same time, like, you can't just, you know, like, practice a lip sync once in your bedroom, you know, put on a denim skirt and look like a busted sorority girl and pretend you're a queen. Like, that's royalty. You have to be able to captivate a room. You have to be able to, I mean, because we don't perform at theaters where people come to sit and watch us politely and then applaud. Like, we're performing for drunk assholes, you know? Like, you have to be able to get to somebody on their seventh citywide, you know, and be like, you are going to watch me do the shit out of this Dreamgirls number, and you are going to throw money at me even though it's 1:30 in the morning. And you have to have the belief in yourself and the passion for it, because I think a lot of the, like I saw, like the boys in dresses, I think they see the attention the drag queens get and they want to do that, and they just like throw on something they stole from their sister and roll out the door. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not... You know, and if you want to dress that way, if that makes you feel good just to dress that way and people buy you free drinks, great. But don't call yourself a drag queen if you're, you know.
I literally, this was made 30 minutes prior to me getting here. My four Asian children in the basement. I said I just need something sparkly and new. So they'd made it. And I was like, all right, let's go. But I think also, too, with drag performances, like going back on the what you guys had mentioned before was the city of Philadelphia is so diverse. As well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of, I do agree, even, you know, I'm a queen as well. I do agree there's a lot of drag now than before. There was more variety before. And that's what I feel is overtaking the city. I read an article recently and it did say that, you know, a lot of queens, and I'm not saying I'm perfect because I've done this before. You don't have time and you just do it the same song, you know, repetitively. But I think what people need to know is that they need to go out their comfort zone, especially in drag, with different songs. Do a slow number, do a fast number,
right.
Do a commie number. I feel if people, especially queens in general, if they venture out and they do something totally outside their box, it works.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like
outside
they won't
your box.
Well, yeah. I mean, my bento box is really moist right now.
Sweet, I'm curious, because we're talking about all of this. Who, by like show of hands, is like at least once a month has like drag show in Philly? You're like a drag audience. So we're just talking like nonsense.
None
you like
you,
you're like, why are
show?
You? So I mean, I
was
would
this
say
anybody's first time seeing a drag performance. Was it anybody's?
Okay, so we've at least seen a drag
performance
before.
Any cherries.
I would say, like, you know, there's really good drag, and it's not just in the gayborhood. You know, you can come out to Taboo. Of course, I work there. I love them. But, you know, Sinful Sundays.
And this one always has fabulous nails on when I see them.
I don't have any color on, but you can see they're good femme talons. I could still scratch an eye out. But no, you know, but there's like Martha Graham Cracker, and she is a drag queen. Yes. So, all right. So, yes, I love Martha Graham Cracker. I love her as Martha. I love her as a man. I love her in drag. I love her doing pig iron theater. All I can say is, like, if you've never seen a drag show in Philly, treat yourself. Find one night. And it's also different. Don't see one, see five. Like, go see the Dumpster Players and see what drag looks like when it really is nothing. You know, no one's supposed to look like a pretty lady there. It's all over the top or crazy stuff, and then you do crazy themes, and it's at Bob and Barbara's, and that's like a Philly staple and a Philly legend, just like our hosts, Tattooed Moms. Thank you so much for having us. I hope you buy a drink.
Yes. But that's
I just looked
also.
Down and it said encourage people to buy drinks, and I was like, okay, yeah, right. Thank you, our sponsors.
So we have time. I want to give the audience an opportunity. Does anybody have any questions for all right, Icon?
Don't be a Judy bitch, Icon.
I have a question for Miss Rice. So how are you, Miss Rice?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm fabulous. So how long does it take you to tuck?
Is she tucked?
Let me think. Yeah, I am. I'm trying to sit ladylike. Then usually, like last night, I was like this at Voyeur.
That happens.
I know.
Yeah, no, it does.
Okay. So I don't use duct tape like other queens.
What is your adhesive of choice?
I don't use adhesive.
Oh.
I use multiple layers of booty shorts and pantyhose and like tight G-string like panties that keep everything snatched up in there. Because I can't do a split. You know how I do splits?
You do splits.
I can't have the side of a piece of a duct tape rip off the side of my leg during a performance, you know? So what I do is I literally take the tightest... I also have a gaff, though.
Yeah.
Which is basically made out of pantyhose, or it's like a tight, tight thong.
That she gets from the corner store.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. If you don't have one, make one.
It's true.
Yeah. I once used an oven mitt one time.
Stop. You didn't.
What?
Just kidding. No, just kidding.
Explain.
I was just kidding. It was while I was cooking my dim sum.
It was, that's a meaty tuck. Yeah, we've all seen those.
No, but it's really, it's. A lot of queens do it a different way. But for me, it works best to layer things up, because then that way it keeps your hip pads in place. But I don't have any on today because summer drag is a bitch. Even though I'm just wearing chapstick.
She's horrible.
Does anybody else have any more questions for Rudy, Lady Geisha, for me?
Ask away. Come on. You're all so quiet.
This is your chance.
Ask me anything. I don't bite.
My goodness.
Okay, we got one.
Ma'am.
Miss Thing.
Okay, so. We have a real question in the back.
I know that there is like a drag king presence in Philadelphia as well. Is there any, like, how do you feel about the drag kings? Is there any like familial relationship between drag queens and drag kings, or are they kind of separate entities, separate communities?
I'm gonna jump in on that one. So, as the notorious OMG, I was the resident MC for Liberty City Kings Drag and Burlesque for about 4 years. And before Liberty City Kings came the Royal Renegades. And, you know, and I, and actually like to completely nerd out, when I did a women's and gender studies, degree, which is basically, it just says faggot and glitter on your diploma. And that was a wonderful experience. And, I did my senior thesis on the history and sort of like gender theory of drag kings. And I would say that the, in Philly, there's a certain, I mean, Lascivious Jane does both drag and burlesque, and she has a relationship with a lot of the queens, but I would say overall the drag kings and drag queens are pretty separate. There's, they don't often perform together. I would say they don't necessarily have like close friendships for the most part. I don't often, you know, I don't often see a ton of drag queens out at a Liberty City King show. I don't see the Lick crew turning out at Voyeur or Bob and Barbara's or any of that. So I would say it's a really separate, and I mean, I think that sort of mirrors a lot of separation between gay and lesbian communities in Philadelphia overall. I find that really unfortunate. I was basically like raised by lesbians when I came out. I was hanging out with, I played rugby. So I play, you know, knew all of the rugby women, and like unsurprisingly, a not inconsiderable number of them were gay. And so it'd be like me and all of the lesbian athletes at my school would get together on Sundays and watch the L Word. Yes, right? Like, and then we all ended up with asymmetrical haircuts and coke habits because everyone wanted to be Shane. So that was a rough time in the early 2000s. No, I'm kidding. I'm way too hyper for uppers, so I don't do that. but yeah, so I think it's a real bummer that there's not more community between the two.
There is some separation, I can say that for sure. But there is, I perform at Bob and Barbara's monthly. Mm-hmm. And there are times where we have drag kings performing in the cast with us. And it's, that's one thing about Bob and Barbara's as well. It's a little further outside the gayborhood, which is nice because you can venture out that way. And it's like a trendy, it's right here on South Street, on 15th and South. It's a dive bar. It's that different, it's when I go in there and perform, and I can you know, reiterate on this as well, it's a family environment. It's that soul, you know, that soul feeling. And it's just, it's a venue for everybody, straight, gay, bisexual, trans, anybody can go. And we have a lot of bachelor parties. We have a lot of straight men that will tip you because they think you're pretty when you're performing. You know, and but it's also like that, just that vibe where you have, it's not just a drag show, even though there's a lot of drag during the show, but you have those times where you have Rome,
right,
who comes and performs, and different, you know, other drag kings, dancers and stuff like that. So it gives that, you know, variety that, you know, because when people look at performance art, it's not just queens and beauty and being fish.
Right.
You have to see other sides as well. And the drag kings, I think, work harder too. You know, they have to really take away that all those feminine features. And when they're, you know, doing all of that, putting on, I mean, I've seen drag kings literally cut their bangs or buzz the part of their head to make it shorter, and glue that extra hair that they just buzzed off onto their face.
Right. Ooh. But I think, so, at the same time, I think that points to like yet another type of segregation within the drag community,
absolutely,
though, because if you look at Bob and Barbara's, you know, I'm not, and I just want to be really clear too, it's important not to out people who are trans unless they are out about it. But, you know, most of the people who there are very out about being trans. And so, you know, at Bob and Barbara's, you get mostly transgender women who are performing as drag queens and transgender men who are performing as drag kings. And then you go a few blocks over and almost all of the drag queens are cisgender gay men, and almost all the drag kings are cisgender lesbians. And so, and I go out and, you know, I'll support them all. And I've had such a mix of people in my shows over the year. And like, I really, and that's also why I say, like, don't go to one drag show, go to five. Because a Bob and Barbara show is not a Taboo show, is not a Dumpster Player show, is not a Voyeur show. It's all really, really different. And it's not just the styles, but it really is, you know, Philadelphia in many ways, unfortunately, remains a segregated city along racial lines. But Bob and Barbara's is the longest running drag show in Philadelphia, and they do, yeah, so.
But that's what I love too, because there's so much variety,
yeah,
in the city as well. So,
so we are coming up to the end, and we got another show after this, so folks should definitely stay around for that. But before we end, I would like to give audience members, or I guess the panel, you could possibly be involved in this. I want two brave astronauts who are willing to compete for prizes. Who wants in? All right.
We have one in the back.
Yes. Come on up to the center. Who is my next brave astronaut who would like to compete for some from sexual prizes? All right. Come on up. All right.
Yay.
So we got prizes for both winner and runner-up. But so everyone's going to win because you're both brave astronauts, and I very much appreciate it. So introduce yourself to the nice people.
Hi, my name is Icon.
And what is your name?
My name is Vanessa.
All right, so we have Icon and Vanessa who are going to be competing. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to play a little game. You're going to name something. I'm going to give you a category and then pass it over. And you're going to keep going back and forth until somebody can't answer. All right? And whoever gave the last answer wins. Does that
Icon's
make sense?
Icon's going to be good.
All right, so here is another mic so we can play this game proper-like. All right, so you're going to pass the mic back and forth. All right, so for the grand prize, your category is sex toys. Go!
Dildos.
Shit.
For some people.
Vibrator.
Prostate massager.
Love doll.
Nipple clamps.
Female ass masturbator.
What?
It's the mold of a female ass with vaginal and anal openings.
Lube.
Breast pumps.
Breastplates.
Penis pump.
Cock rings.
Cock vibrator.
Ball gags?
Whips.
Chains.
Cuffs.
Chokers.
Shackles.
Oh my God.
Dom.
Sub.
What? Femme.
Wait, we're still doing sex toys. Like a word association game. All right. You're still even. It's still going. Just keep it to the category.
Okay. Who's up?
Gun oil.
That's sure.
Anal oil.
Cucumbers.
Squash.
Yes.
I'm getting hungry.
Ooh, fleshlight.
Tongue ring vibrator.
Toe ticklers.
Rope.
Ooh. Ooh, rope. Floggers.
Mouth numbing spray.
Ice.
Anal numbing spray.
They are different.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Don't use those interchangeably.
Tonight is sponsored by Analies.
Your fist.
Your foot.
Your arm.
Oh, my God.
Lace.
This microphone.
That beer can.
Oh, my God.
Y'all horrible. This is my iSpy. Jesus. You can't just start picking objects in the room to insert into one another.
My anal size beads. 10 boot. Mm.
All right, last one was anal beads. All right,
this.
Keep it going.
That would not stand. Be enjoyable.
The mic stands. All
right. Icon gets second prize. Sit down, ma'am.
All right, let's see if we can keep it to things that are actually intended for that purpose. I mean, I encourage DIY creativity, don't get me wrong, but for the purposes of the game, let's keep it to things that were intended for that purpose.
I was liking that, though. I was like, Easy Mac. Microwavable. Swanson.
Pointers.
Jackrabbit.
Whipped cream.
Finally.
Ramrod.
carrots.
Listen. Oh, carrots. Carrots,
we're keeping it to things
eggplants.
Intended for that purpose.
Anal plug.
Mm. Oh, butt plugs.
Wait,
that's the same.
Wait.
Same thing. Different words.
No, it's the same thing.
No synonym.
Quiche.
All right, Icon, you get one more chance on that one.
Nipple erect cream.
Clit vibrator.
Huh? About yep. time.
Female
God
condom.
Damn it.
Oh, yeah, you looking like a mania.
Female condoms.
Oh. Trojans. I'm done.
All right.
We have a winner.
For our runner-up Icon, pardon me, you get a collection of Glide condoms. And a mom's chip, which is good for something here. I'm not sure what. Yay! And for our winner, Vanessa, you get your choice of a Sex with Timmy poster signed, and you will also get a mom's chip. Thank you both very much for competing. Thank you. Everybody give them a hand. And we're going to finish this up. So I would just like to thank the guests today. We have Rudy Flesher. Give it up for Rudy.
Thank you.
And Lady Geisha.
Thank Yay! You for having me.
So thank you all very much for coming. You can check out information on all of us on the interwebs, sexwithsimri.com, sexwithsimri's on Facebook, etc. Thank you so much for coming, and stay for the next show. Thank you, Tattooed Moms.
Thank you.
And have a great night.
Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.